Om Shanti. In Sunday's Murli, Baba spoke about, he said that whenever you have an inauguration or start something new, especially in India, you cut a ribbon and break a coconut. But that was external, and what Baba was trying to say was something internal, that you need to break or cut four things. Baba also says in the Murli that whenever, whatever you listen to, you have to churn it. Think about it. Just like a cow eats grass, but it keeps on churning. It chews it. So today, we have brother Dr. Sachin, from the Global Hospital, who has been with Baba nearly 17 years and has been serving nearly 6 years at the Global Hospital. He's going to take us into depths of these points. So not only will you listen to it, enjoy it, but you'll also learn how to churn. Brother Sachin.
Om Shanti. We'll begin this session with a short journey within, a short commentary. So all of you, please sit alert and yet relaxed. A spark of luminosity. I am a soul. Sitting in the middle of the forehead. A non-physical being. Let me turn inside. Go within. And explore the depth of my being. A radiant light shining and twinkling beautifully and a point of light. I see and experience myself as a luminous being, totally detached, let me go back. Go back to the same place whence I came. My eternal home. That expanse of red light. That abode of the Supreme. The Paramdham. I, the soul. I am flying away, away from this earthly existence, away from this temporal world of five elements. And I see myself as a drop of consciousness in this old world, a colorless drop, a pure drop, that is the world beyond sound. The land of Nirvana. The liberated drop. In the land of liberation. Realm of peace, and as I look down, I see a beautiful ladder of 84 steps, and I am tempted. From that world of silence, I make attempt to fall down. When I come down, gradually, on this beautiful ladder, I reach the first step. And my color has changed to radiant, golden, brilliantly shining drop. So pure. This drop of consciousness is now moving down from one step to another. Years pass by. I continue to move down as if a small ball from one step to another, and gradually my color has changed to silver. My shine, by and by, has reduced slightly. But I continue to move down from one step to another. Half the ladder is crossed. And my color has changed into copper. That beauty, that immaculate purity, is slowly waning, and I continue to fall down. Gradually, I see this drop of consciousness turning black. I have reached almost the end of this ladder. No shine, no beauty, no glory. No grace, and I am almost on the brink of this ladder, the last step and I fall from that step down, and this drop of consciousness falls into the lap of the Supreme, the creator of this ladder, and I see myself, a drop of pure consciousness turning into a beauteous angel. The drop has changed its form, and I have assumed this angelic body. What an ecstasy, what a joy that I have met my creator, and he is taking me above, holding my hand away from this ephemeral existence to that subtle world. I, the angel, am experiencing extreme lightness. Avyakta Bhavdada is in front of me. His gentle and cool vision upon me. And he has kept his hand on my forehead. His hand of blessing. And I hear him say, and I experience him giving me a blessing, child, may you be immortal. The Lord of immortality has filled me with his immortal song, the sweet music, the sweet fragrance of immortality encompassing me. Empowered, ready to embark on a new journey, I, the immortal angel, now gradually descend down. And enter into this corporeal body. Om Shanti. So, what is today's topic? It's about new beginnings. It's about celebration. It's about rejoicing. Not renouncing, but rejoicing. Not fasting, but feasting. It's about singing and it's about dancing. What sort of religion Baba has created, is not that a wonder? This is the first religion on this earth where dancing leaders are produced, where singing messiahs are produced, where rejoicing prophets are placed before the stage of the world. So, cutting the ribbon and breaking the coconut. We'll begin this session with a very short story. It once happened that there was a psychologist and he wanted to study human mind in depth. And he was more so interested in a child's mind, in child's psychology. So once he makes his trip to those distant African places, in the interior of those African jungle, he goes there and he sees those tribal children, aboriginals, Adivasi, and he feels that I should do some experiment with these children. Let me see what they do. There were about 50 children who were playing there. So he said, let's have fun. We will do one play. And he told them, we will have a marathon, a race. And he placed some toffees on platter, some biscuits, some sweets near a tree. And he told all of those students, all of those children, who were wearing tattered clothes, who did not know language so well. From that, their appearance, the children, from the appearance of those children, it seemed as if they are totally separated from this world, from the mainstream. Absolutely uncultured, uneducated. Having as if they are far away, removed from the mysteries of life, drowned into their own world. And he tells them that all of you have to reach this tree. It would be a 100-meter run. So all of you have to run. Whosoever reaches first will get all the toffees, all the sweets, which are placed on that platter. And he is quite enthusiastic to know what happens. So what happened? All of those children, they held each other's hand. And they started running together. And all of them reached that tree at the same time. Then all of them sat together. And they distributed the toffee. And they ate. The psychology was astounded to see. And he asked them, what is the reason why you did like this? I told you to run fast. Whosoever wins, he would get all the toffees. Instead, you ran together. So they said, Ubuntu, Ubuntu. He said, what? So that was their word. That was their language. And they said, I am. Because we are. That is the meaning of that word. I am because we are. He was shocked to see such depth of knowledge or wisdom which he had never seen before. What sense of unity was there? What sense of belongingness, oneness that had tied all those children together. And they said, we don't want to win, making our brothers lose. We don't want to attain to happiness, thereby making our brethren remorseful, sorrowful. So that word Ubuntu, that means I am because we are. The string of unity was tying them together. Yesterday, whilst talking with double foreigners, Baba gave this analogy of breaking the ribbon. Break the ribbon of four things. What are those four things? First, everybody has heard the Murli. What is that first thing? Yes? Anybody? First thing? There are four things in breaking the ribbon. You have to break that ribbon. What is that ribbon? You have to cut that ribbon, sorry. What is that ribbon? First, ek mat, one direction. Ek bal, that is one strength. ek bharosa, that is one faith, and fourth unity. These are the four things Baba said you have to imbibe within you. Baba always talks in terms of parables, in terms of anecdotes, in terms of examples. If you study one Avyakta Murli, you find so many examples, like that car, when the battery goes down, it needs a push. He gives examples, like that guru, when he says something, the disciple believes and he has got intoxication. He gives example. Always he gives example. And there's a very beautiful passage in Bible about this. Jesus Christ, when he's about to be crucified just 12 hours before, he's talking with his disciples. That is the last sermon he is giving. At that point, he says, till now I have talked with you in parables. When I will talk with you plainly, when I will stop giving examples, when I will stop telling you parables, anecdotes, know that my time has come and I will go away from you. Recently, nowadays, when Baba talks, does he give any examples? Hardly any. Study all the Avyakta Murli from 69. You will find one Murli is filled with so many examples. Because spirituality is all about abstract ideas. How can you explain him? How can he explain those things? He has to pick up the examples of this world. Without these examples, he cannot explain. All the knowledge, all the spirituality is about abstract ideas. So he gives them a local habitation and form. Gives to air in nothing, Shakespeare has said. What a poet does, he gives to air in nothing a local habitation and form. And the greatest poet of this drama, the greatest singer of this drama, the greatest musician of this drama is God. And when he comes on this earth, he explains his philosophy in the form of parables, examples, anecdotes, stories. So that it becomes easy. Because he has to establish a new religion. A religion which was never there before. Such a religion. Which was there and it deteriorated, it degraded. And it is lost in the course of time. He has come to bring back that religion. To re-establish that religion. So, he talked about inauguration, he talked about cutting the ribbon, and he talked about unity. That is the first thing. What is this unity? Baba is talking about achieving success in service. Bab Dada also has got register. Your register has got names of those people who give good lectures. But Baba calls him a lecturer who gives what? Bhasana experience. That's what he wants. Experience. Religion. If you want to define religion in one word, religion is realization. That's it. A religious mind means a realized mind, an enlightened mind. That is everything about religion. So, we'll come back to cutting the ribbon. Baba said four things. We will start with unity. What is the sense of unity? Is it to shout the slogans of unity? Is it to hold each other's hand and show that we are united? Or it has got some deeper, a profound meaning within it? How can we find the unity within? So many different souls, so many different natures, so many different sanskars. Then what unity is talking about? Only a soul who has touched that unity within, that inner harmony, that soul alone can be in harmony with others. What does that mean? This unity is a result of inner unity. The external unity is the result of inner unity. The more we are concentrated within ourselves, the more we are focused on ourselves, the more we are into our own being, situated in our own nature. Somebody has said very good thing, it is that we have to labor to become sorrowful. But to become happy, you have to be just yourself. You have to earn sorrow. And that's what we have been doing, laboring. Baba has also mentioned about laboring in this Murli, party number 3. You have been laboring all the time. We earned sorrow. We earned unhappiness. But for happiness, you just have been situated within yourself. For unity outside, you have to achieve that, gain that, attain that unity within you. That inner harmony, that inner conflict stops to be or not to be. This sitting on the horns of dilemma has stopped. A soul has heard that inner sound. The soul has heard the inner music, which is always there. And especially so when God has come on this earth to achieve this inner unity. And that inner unity will only come when the soul is in unity with, in union with the Supreme. I'll just give a short another parable. There were once a group of pigeons. They used to live on the top of one temple. So temple renovation work was to be done. That is why all of them, all those pigeons relocated to another place. The another place happened to be a church. So all of those pigeons went on the top of that church. After some time, the church was to be given a facelift. So that is why they decided, let's move to another place. So they moved to another place. This time the another place was a mosque. So every time they moved to another place, they were welcomed by the pigeons who were already there. So this time also the pigeons which were there on the mosque, they welcomed. And they started living happily. So whilst they were on this mosque, suddenly some communal rights, some clashes occurred. The small pigeon asked his mother, "Who are they? Why are they fighting?" The mother pigeon said, "This is the fight among Hindu, Muslim and Christians." He asked, "Who are Hindu, who are Muslims and who are Christians?" The mother said, "Earlier we used to stay on temple. The people who go there, they are Hindus. Then we moved to church. The people who go to that church, they are Christians. And now we are in mosque. So people who come here, they are Muslims. And that's why they are fighting." The child, the small pigeon asked, "But we were also on the top of that church. That time we were pigeons. Then we moved to church. That time also we were pigeons. Now we are on this mosque. That time also we are pigeons. So why this clashes?" See, the mother pigeon explained, "These human beings, they live on a very lower plane of consciousness. While we birds, we live on a higher plane of consciousness. We are in touch with God. These people are not in touch with God. That is why they keep on fighting." So that was the lesson that mother bird, that mother pigeon gave. That was the answer. The moment we are on a higher plane of consciousness, gradually the unity, the inner unity, the inner harmony occurs. And then whatever that is external, that is the result. That external harmony, that external unity comes on its own. We don't have to strive. We don't have to struggle. We don't have to make plans. That is the result. So let us strike this inner unity. Second thing, Baba said, one direction. One direction. He told to cut the ribbon. The ribbons are of four types. Four things rather. First is this unity. Second is direction. Srimat. In this Brahmin life, only one thing one has to do. If you can just segregate what is Srimat, what is Manmat, and what is Parmat. This word par means other. Srimat, one direction, one dictate, one instruction, one guidance, following only one, that is one. And second is par, other. In France, there was a great philosopher, Jean-Paul Sartre. He has said a beautiful thing. He said, the other is hell. The other is hell. Para, this word, the other, whatever that is other, that is hell. Be within yourself. Go within. Turn within. That is the heaven. The kingdom of heaven is within you, not outside. It's here. See, all that is par, all that is other, is confusion. All that is other will take you to some meandering paths, will deviate you. That's an absolute digression. Baba is saying, follow one direction to understand the depth of Srimat. What is Srimat? What is it? Am I on it? Or am I deviating from it? What is my understanding of Srimat? How far, how much I have understood it? And how much I am living up to it? That is the question. We get Srimat from Murlis. Each and every word, each and every line which God has spoken, this is so important. And even more important than that, all of you have seen Baba in front of you and speaking. Many times I feel, this is my personal experience, many times I feel when he speaks, there are pauses, there are gaps from between one line and another. From one sentence and another sentence, there are gaps. He is conveying more in that gap. He is speaking something in that gap. Those pauses are more profound than the words. Those pauses are more profound than the words he is uttering, because he is telling the ultimate truth. The ultimate truth of life. First thing is, can it be told? One of the philosophers, Lao Tse, has says that the moment you try to utter truth, it becomes untruth. Truth has to be unspoken. The moment you try to utter it, it becomes untruth. All the religious teachers have tried to do that. Their experiences were something else. But the moment they came down and they started narrating to the masses, it was something else. Now, but Lao Tse did not know that God would come on this earth one day. And he will narrate all these things. So, one is that abstract, the knowledge. And then it is coming through the mouth of that supreme being. And he is taking the help of human language. Though he doesn't abide by any language. His grammar, his pronunciations, his vocabulary, whatever words, they are of that instrument. But he talks the depth. And nobody has ever told that. Though from Copper Age, many people might have got some glimpses of that, but they were not able to tell what it was. They had experience. It is not that spirituality is now. It has always been there. Because we are souls, whether we know or not. Even we do not know. When we do not know, we still are souls. In one village, it so happened that there was a great wall. There was a wall. And whosoever used to climb that wall and sees what is behind that, he would jump and never come back. all the villagers were so amazed, they wanted to know what is behind that wall. They did not know what is behind that wall. So, every time they would see that somebody has climbed that wall, and the moment the person has climbed that wall and sees the other side, the face is shining, and immediately that person jumps on the other side and never comes back. Now how to know? They made a trick. They decided that we must find out what is there behind that wall. So they tied one person who was about to climb, they tied that person's leg with a rope. That person climbed and he saw what is there behind that wall, and he was so joyed, so ecstatic. He was about to jump and they pulled that rope down. That person fell down and they asked him, what was it? He became dumb. He couldn't speak. The story ends. That is the wall of relative consciousness, and what they have seen is the absolute consciousness. The moment you climb on that wall and you see the ultimate, you can't come back to this world back. You jump into it. Yes, if you are pulled back, probably you may become mute. How can human language express the ultimate? There are some people, but they prefer to sit on the wall. For what reason? To tell the masses about that reality. And these are the spiritual leaders. Probably Dadi Janaki is sitting on that wall at present. On the wall of relative consciousness. To tell the masses what is there. They are not in this world, they are not in that world. They are in the middle. Not here, not there. Somewhere in between. Otherwise, who will tell these masses what is there? That is inexpressible. How to explain that? That is unfathomable depth in that. So, one direction, following one dictates of one, and that can happen only when we realize that who is he? Who is he? Yesterday's Murli. You should be intoxicated. Who has given you all the titles? What were you earlier? So ordinary. Nobody, it was impossible for others to think that you will become so elevated. That was the first line somewhere in Murli. You were hopeless, but you became elevated. You were uneducated, you became knowledgeful. You were innocent, you became clever. So much intoxication you should have. Who is giving you all the titles? You are one title, all the titles of the world cannot be compared. You are uncomparable. And then God is giving you this blessing of immortality. So many things yesterday he told. So, to follow one direction, to understand that direction, do not just following it blindly. Because if you follow it blindly, that will be mere suppression. And all those suppressed thoughts, all those suppressed feelings, all that suppressed emotions will one day come out. That tsunami will come out and drown everything. So, understanding each and every word, understanding those directions and then following them. Second, third is one strength and one faith. These are the four things Baba told. One strength and one faith. We all have God as our strength, and that is why we are here. But sometimes this faith staggers. Sometimes we try to seek support or strength of this world, of human beings, and that is the time we fall. Soul is infinite. It cannot be satisfied with anything less than infinite. Nothing can satisfy the soul. No human being can satisfy us. Never. In Hindi, in Buddhistic literature, one word has come. Somewhere, Dushpur. Dushpur means insatiable. All the desires are insatiable. No matter how much you try to satisfy, never. One desire will give rise to another. another desire to third desire. This is the ocean of desire, the waves of desires are always coming in this samsara. To rise above all the desires. To have only one as, to have all the faith in one, to have all the power in one. And to stay in that faith. I remember in my own life, I will tell you a very interesting thing. After my MBBS, I was fired with the desire to know God, to realize God. That desire was so intense, that I decided to renounce this world. After having studied all the major religions of this world, and I had decided that I don't want to continue this medical profession anymore. And almost I had made a list of about 50 different institutions. Brahma Kumaris was at the last. There was a reason, because I had never gone to center even. I never did any course, but only once when I had gone, I just stayed. But I used to like the white dress and the purity. Only once I had gone, I was so much drowned in devotion. Only once I had gone, and in that Murli, somebody was reading Murli and she said, devotion is night and knowledge is light, day. And I got up and left. They called devotion the night. So, during that period, when I was burning with that intense feeling of virag, intense desire to realize God, who is He? What is He? What is the truth of life? Atato Brahma Jitnyasa. What is it? I remember, after having made all those things, I had decided to join one institution, other than Brahma Kumaris. But I was told that you visit this Mount Abu once, before you take that final decision. This is a big story, which I will tell sometimes, any other time. It's a big story. And I decided to come here. And how I came, that is also a different story. When my sister took me to the center, the sister in charge asked me, how long you have been in knowledge? I said, my sister had told me to tell 1 year. While I was not there at all. But yes, she said that the intensity of your renunciation is unequaled. So somehow it happened that with that party I reached Mount Abu in 2003 November. And I entered Shantivan and everything was new to me. I did not know what is this. I had made all my preparation that 3 days here and I have to go back. I had kept my luggage somewhere in Chennai, in some ashram where I wanted to go. So I stayed in Shantivan and I was not knowing and everything was lost. I did not know where to go. I was moving from pillar to post. Where to go? And on the day of Baba's day, that was 30th November 2003, I was sitting in that Diamond Hall and I sat from 3 o'clock till 11 o'clock. And I didn't know who is there in front. I didn't know what is happening to me. But I was absolutely bodiless and I was continuously crying because I was searching God so intensely, so passionately that for 8 months, I don't know in what state I was. Having studied the different scriptures, having studied all the different religions, having studied the lives of all the greatest men on this earth, all the philosophers, and ultimately some of the greatest sannyasins, some of the greatest monks, and I had decided to take that ultimate path of renunciation to achieve God. But what happened in that hall, even if the greatest leader of this institution had come to me and explained that God has come here and this is Brahma Kumaris, please come here, I would not have come. Because in that hall when I was sitting, such an experience a lightning. What happened? I even could not realize, understand. I didn't see who was sitting there. I didn't see what is happening on the stage. I didn't see what voices, what language, what Hindi and what it was. I didn't know anything. I just saw luminous light. And that light was telling me, the one whom you are searching, that person is me. So now you can't go anywhere. I picked you up from this world, for you do not belong to this world. Jesus Christ has said to his disciples, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you. I have picked you up from this world, for you do not belong to this world. You are not for the world, you are for me. And I felt as if I am picked up from that crowd, that mass, those huge gathering. I felt nobody is there in that hall, I alone. And that light. And that was my entry in this sacrificial fire. And that faith, very first day, the sister brought me for sightseeing, and I was in front of the vehicle, the car, the bus stopped in front of the hospital, and sister told me, this is our hospital. I saw that hospital and I remembered I am a doctor after seeing that hospital. And I went inside and I searched, who is the in charge of this hospital, let me find. And I told them, I want to join right now. He said, you are from which center? I was not from any center. What center I will tell? He says, go and bring the letter. What letter and from where to bring the letter? I came back. I went home. My home, my family was in a state of utter disturbance. Because everybody was opposed to my decision of renouncing this world, leaving the medical profession. But that faith sustained me. I was in search and I found, and that was here, the ultimate truth of life. I went home, I came back, I joined hospital. I was in the hospital for 1.5 years. Then I went and did post-graduation and came back. Why I'm telling you all this? Also, whilst I was in Mumbai and in other places for my post-graduation, that faith always sustained me that I have to go back. I have to reveal the One Father. I cannot get lost in this world. And I came back. So this story of faith, this story of belief, once you have found something, there is no other way. This is the ultimate way. This is the final way, the ultimate path. No other path is greater than this. And I feel very much proud of myself that I am here today amongst all of you. And I love to talk about this, my own story. This is the story of faith, of belief. Baba says, one faith, one belief, one strength, one support. There are different relationships we enjoy with Baba. I remember in the path of devotion, I had gone through all of those different stages, even before realizing God. And after knowing who is He, everything just got culminated and reached that point of that zenith of faith or nishchay in Him. So one faith, one belief, one support. In yesterday's Murli, there was also a very good point, and I like that point. Baba said, many children come and complain, party number 2. Many children come and complain that we have yoga with Baba, but we don't have experience of love. Baba has raised a counter question, how can you have no experience of love when you are connected in yoga with the ocean of love? Probably your method is wrong. Probably you don't know how to do that. What is missing is detachment. We are so attached to everything. Attached to so many small things. Body and body relation. Baba has used a very strict word. He said, this is poison. You have tasted it. You have heard about it. You have eaten it. Still you want to eat it again. The strings of attachments with the world. Without that burning dispassion, disinterest, vairag, you cannot experience God's love. The mind has to get totally detached from this world, even whilst living in this world, attain that inner stage of detachment. Detachment is a nectarine. So much beauty is inherited in detachment. The very word detachment is mouth-watering. It's such a sweet stage. You are in the world, but not in the world. You are doing everything, but you do not belong to anyone. We leave, move, we have our being in Him. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Let's follow Him. Let's be with Him. Let us make Him above everything. And that experience of love happens then. So, detachment. So these are the four things. First is unity. So inner unity. Inner harmony. That inner rhythm, that inner song of spirituality, of God's love, of detachment, of all attainments, of fortune, of intoxication. Everything, this song, today's slogan is also something like that. Baba is ours and I am Baba's. This song should go on in an unending manner. So, unity, one direction, one faith and one strength. He alone is our strength. There was once a newly married king was boating in a lake, and suddenly a boisterous storm strikes. The queen, who is young, she gets afraid. She doesn't know what to do. The storm is about to kill them. It's so violent. But that king is sitting silently, very calm and very quiet, tranquil. So she rushes to that king and says, "Are you not afraid?" So that king takes out his sword and just brings that sword in front of her neck, just about to kill her. And he asks her, "Are you not afraid?" She says, "Why should I be afraid when the sword is in your hand?" He says, "Why should I be afraid when the sword is in the hand of my Lord? Why should I be afraid when the storm is in the hand of my Lord and I am with Him? So no storm can affect me." Such faith, such to put all the strength in Him, He and He alone, the ultimate strength of life. When everybody leaves you, He is always there. He never leaves you. But we go away from Him. I, God, thy Lord, am a jealous God. Old Testament, one statement is there where God is saying, "I, God, thy Lord, am a jealous God. And you leave me and go with somebody. I am very jealous." Don't do that. He doesn't like if we, in spite of making Him our beloved, if we make somebody else our beloved. So He doesn't like that. Second thing is, Baba said about breaking the coconut. This breaking of coconut is considered to be very auspicious. Coconut is a fruit, it's known as God's fruit. All the new beginnings, they break coconut. There are different hundreds of meanings associated with that. Somebody says that this coconut is our ego. Earlier, somebody says, another philosophy says that earlier they used to sacrifice humans, but Shankaracharya came and he stopped this sacrifice. Instead of humans, he started this breaking of this coconut. There's a very beautiful analogy about coconut, about soul consciousness and body consciousness. When we are soul conscious, we are like that wet coconut, which is so much attached. The kernel is so much attached to that shell. That is the stage of body consciousness, where the body is so much attached. The soul and body are just there as if one. Soul is not soul conscious, but body conscious. There is a dry coconut. If you can just shake it, the inside coconut, you hear that voice. That is the highest stage of soul consciousness, where the body is separate and soul is separate. You feel that. So you have to become like that dry coconut. That's a good analogy. Here Baba is talking something else. He is saying that you have to break the coconut of everybody's contentment. everybody's satisfaction. Means to satisfy everyone. When you do that, then time only your success will meet with success. And only those servers who are obstacle free in service, they are in Bab Dada's registers, others not. So, how this satisfying others would come? This will come only and only if we satisfy ourselves. First of all, the very first satisfaction is with oneself. Am I satisfied? Or that spirit of dissatisfaction is growing within me? We are dissatisfied with so many things. With our place, with the people, with our service, with our timings. So many things. Why? Actually, this satisfaction is a sort of sanskar. A person who is dissatisfied, the law of attraction works here. The same thought goes in the atmosphere and the situations are created in the similar manner. You are going for receiving the toli. The moment you go, the toli has finished. Everybody is getting big apple. The moment you go, you are getting a small apple. Because you are already worried. Why always I get this or like this? Why me always? This question is always there. Why me? So this is a sanskar. It has nothing to do with outside things, happenings, external things. It has more to do with our minor mindset, minor touch with my own being. When I am satisfied within, I can satisfy others. When I am dissatisfied, how can I satisfy others? This dissatisfaction is so deep, so abysmal, which is growing within me. And never allowing me to be at rest, to be at peace with myself. So the first step in satisfying others or breaking this coconut of others' contentment and others' satisfactions or others' cheerfulness is to satisfy myself. Time is getting over. I'll finish this with another short story. In Japan once, it so happened that two fakirs, two sannyasins, who used to stay out for most of the time, for 8 months they would roam from here and there, and when it would be rainy season, they would come back to their modest hut. So it so happened that once they both came back, and they found that there was a storm in that village, and their hut was, half of the roof was swept off by the winds. One of the monks, he started complaining. He says, "What is this, O God? We are singing your glory all the time. And this is what you do. Look at those sinners in the village. All their houses are so good. And what sin we have done that you have destroyed our hut, only place to stay." So he was of that complaining nature. The other senior monk, he just kneeled down, he started praising God. "Oh God, thanks. Thanks for what? At least you kept this. At least you kept this hut for us. The roof is not there, but still you have kept the hut. I am very much thankful to you." That sense of gratitude started arising within him. They both slept. And the senior monk got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And he started, as he opened his eyes, he saw the shining moon. And he again started, he wrote a very beautiful song and he started singing, "Oh God, I am so much thankful to you. Why you didn't do this before? Such a beautiful moon I had never seen before. Such a beautiful moon, such a starry night. Oh, what is your wonder? What a wonderful nature." And he started crying at the same time, dancing and singing. That is the sense of satisfaction, a deep sense of satisfaction. Everything nature is bringing you, everything destiny is bringing you. Everything has become a rejoicement, an enjoyment. Everything, we are filled with gratitude for our giver, for the donor of this life. So, let us unite. Let's unite within. Unite the strings which are so scattered, let them come together. So strike that unity within. Have one direction, have one faith, one strength, and a deep, a deep, a deep and profound sense of satisfaction. Baba has always said that remind yourself how much fortunate you have. Your line of fortune is so big yesterday's party number one. Your line of fortune is so big. Those fortune teller may tell some fortune, but not that always everyone has everything. You are the ones who are enjoying picnic with God. You have seen Him, you play with Him, you dance with Him, you laugh with Him. Who can be compared with you? You are the greatest souls of this earth. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. So that was a wonderful, wonderful journey by brother. And we can know from his speaking that he practices this a lot. He churns a lot. The soul is full. Now brother will conduct meditation for half an hour. But meditation will go on till 8 o'clock, and those who want to stay till 7:30, fine. Those who want to continue till 8, that's also fine. Thank you. Om Shanti.